interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. It is the TGIF June 7th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, back live at the best place in town to celebrate life. Rufino's on the River. Glad to have you on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here, out of Rufino's. A lot going on today. Two guests expected in each of the next 2 hours, and I'll tell you all about the drink specials going on here and just what they have on tap here tonight at Rufino's on the River. As always, the famous Clint D. in tow from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Your big storyline, Paul is going for it all. And I'm not going to ever pardon the rhyme. But Maneri, for the second straight weekend, is going to double down right away. The stakes are higher. I liked it, even though I was a little bit surprised by it last week. I'm very much okay with this. My degree of likitude, you might even say love, is higher. You'll recall last weekend, when LSU hosted the Baton Rouge Regional, Landon Marceau got the call against Stony Brook. Nobody really suspected LSU would need anywhere near its best. Certainly its best in form leading into regional action. And Landon Marceau was definitely that. Cole Henry, we knew the stuff. We just weren't sure where he was after one ramp-up started Hoover. But Maneri decided to go for the first time ever in his tenure at LSU. I believe the first time the Tigers not even recent memory, but even an old dude's memory. When's the last time LSU was a one seed through one of its, if not absolutely its, best against the four seed? But they did that, Brooke. So much so to the tune where Marceau didn't make it into the sixth inning. They didn't need him to. And they had a lot of long breaks sitting in the dugout inside Alec Box Stadium. And so maybe it shouldn't have surprised. But the news came out. I can tell you exactly when. At about 11:20, maybe 11:30 this morning, LSU Sports Information released the news that Cole Henry will start tomorrow at 2 p.m. Landon Marceau will go Sunday at 5 p.m. And Eric Walker is slated for an if-necessary Game 3 Monday at 7:30. So let's diagnose that a little bit. And I'd love to hear from you. Let's get some calls early. We're going to be jam-packed with guests today, so get them in. Why you can fit them in. 706-0111. The message, as I said, is best foot forward. They did it in the regionals. Paul is doing it again in super regional play. I termed it as him going for it all, and you're damn right. It's been a very tumultuous season for a team that has still had a pretty good run and a nice bout of success. Finds itself as one of 8 host teams in super regional play. It never matters how you get there. It's only that you are there. It's the same exact principle as the Sweet 16. Who cares? If you dodged having to play the one seed in the second round, who cares? You get to where you need to be, however you can get your tookus there. And so LSU benefited from Georgia, well, wet in the bed a good bit last weekend. But they've got a good Florida State team coming to town. But I find it motivating, frankly. And I like the message from Paul. We're not going to come with anything less than our best. We're delivering our best haymaker right off the bat. Try to win game one. And then still pretty salty pitching waiting in the wings for game two with Landon Marceau. Marceau's been incredible, frankly, his last couple of times out. So this is not the way that I've been projecting it all week, but I'm more than okay with it. It was more of a shock with Marceau pitching against Stony Brook. But again, Maneri and Dunn decided they wanted to set the table that way, and they're not changing tune. That part I like as well. Because guess what else happens? You find a way to win two this weekend into Monday if necessary. You can bet your bottom dollar that the exact same philosophy is going to come into play to start play in Omaha. Best foot forward. Win right away. Save bullpen arms. I love it. Always been the LSU way, but then again, you can't keep trying to jam a square peg into a round hole. And since 2009, that probably isn't a fair description of what Mineri and lately with Alan Dunn with the pitching staff have been doing. Probably not completely fair, right? They were in the finals, last two teams, just two seasons ago in 2017. So I try to be careful with some of the nitpicking because what we're really doing is needling between degrees of elite and excellence. A lot of programs nationwide would love to have what LSU's had from 2010 until right now. But I do like the fact that Paul has never been afraid to shake it up. And he does a good bit of tweaking. It's discussed on this show. It's discussed in sports bars throughout South Louisiana, throughout the state. This is a shakeup that I can get behind. Cole Henry, then Landon Marceau, and it will be Eric Walker on Monday. Now, what's interesting, if you were listening Tuesday, Tim Linnefelt, Seminoles.com, joined the program. He gave a projected rotation for the Noles. And as our good friend David Falk of Louisiana Hot Stuff would say, he hit the money on the head. It will be Drew Parrish opposite of Cole Henry tomorrow. Parrish is a junior lefty. 8-5 on the year. Above a 5 ERA, Parrish isn't their best. He was recently drafted. Earlier this week, Parrish was a eighth. Let's make it an eighth-round selection of the Kansas City Royals. So you know he's got chops. Statistically, their best pitcher is going to go opposite of Marceau on Sunday. C.J. Van Eyck, a sophomore righty, 10-3 on the year, 3.71 ERA. Numbers don't always translate tremendously on radio, but dig these. It's impressive. In 87 and a third innings, Cat struck out 115 batters. So, yes, C.J. Van Eyck, Landon Marceau could be keeping the K-Lady awfully busy. She'll only do one side, but if she did two, she better have some potassium going into it. And on Monday, opposite of Eric Walker, it will be Connor Grady, a senior right-handed pitcher, 9-5 on the year, 3.64 ERA. So LSU will see a junior lefty who's heading to the Kansas City Royals tomorrow, a sophomore righty with plenty of punch-out power on Sunday, and Connor Grady, the most seasoned of them, a senior righty, if necessary, in that ball game on Monday evening. So we're at that time of the year where there's a whole lot at stake. And now you know how LSU and Paul Mineri have chose to set the table. They're putting their best foot forward, and I absolutely dig it. We'll have plenty of time for you to weigh on that subject and more as we proceed. Keep the number handy. We need you today when you're ready. 706-0111. I told you we had a lot of great guests lined up. I'll share that with you right now. Two in our number one. In fact, on the other side of this break, about 5 minutes from right now, Hunt Palmer. Didn't get to catch up with him yesterday. My guy was in a golf tournament. Here's the thing about those. Sometimes they last 2 days. So he'll be playing golf again this afternoon. I did catch up with him earlier this morning. I mentioned that to you for one reason only. We spoke at about 11:10. That's how I know it. About 11:20 or 11:30, the pitching rotation came out. So a lot of great stuff from Hunt. You'll listen to us discuss the hypothetical of Marceau then Henry or Henry then Marceau. Now we know how the cookie crumbled, but you'll still dig, I think, some of his insight into why Mineri might go with Henry first. If anything, Hunt kind of called a shot here, Babe Ruth style, in the interview. So Hunt Palmer on the other side. Ruff and Rodri will join us sometime between 4:30 and 5. It's all about how the traffic treats him, baby. But he'll be here. We're excited about that. At straight up 5 o'clock, it's tradition, James Moran, the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, taking you inside the on-deck circle. So we got you covered from every angle with LSU baseball. Hunt Palmer in this hour, James Moran in the next, and I'm all kind of fired up. Good friend of the program. At 5:45, an hour and a half or so from right now, Q Keith Hornsby, coming aboard to talk NBA Finals. Nobody better that I've covered to speak about the game who knows the game. And again, he plays it at a pretty high level, too. Last year, he led the G League in three-point field goal percentage at 48.5%. That, my friends, is filling it up. So Hunt Palmer, Ruffin Rodriguez in this hour. James Moran, Keith Hornsby in hour number two. And you'll hear again from Tim Linnefelt on the Florida State Seminoles in our 6 o'clock hour. We'll be with you till 6:30 today. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in to Ruffino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
We're still just getting started on a Friday edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Don't have any LSU baseball today. We will tomorrow. And you can hear it on 103.7 The Game. As we return to Ruffino's on the River, we got a preview with our man Hunt Palmer. He was playing some golf yesterday. We get that. I mean, seriously, the heavens have been opening up on us. So when it's dry, you got to hit the links. But right now, he is going to join us on the Ardco Equipment Hotline. And you can listen to his work. He and Charlie Hanegriff, the Outside the Box podcast on ESPN 104.5.com. Hunt, welcome back in. How the heck are you?
I'm good, Ben. It's time for some super regional baseball, and it's good news when there's still baseball being played around South Louisiana, and that happens to be the case this week.
Oh, there's no question. And I'll ask you this. There's been so much, I guess, Jekyll and Hyde with this Florida State team, people who looked at what they were for the vast majority of the regular season, really even their conference tournament, and then the juggernaut that they turned into in Athens. What do you believe that Florida State is, and what do you know about the Seminoles that maybe holds true kind of in the middle ground?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of similarities between both of these teams. I think, you know, there's elite-level talent in the starting rotation. Van Eyck from the right side is awesome with the fastball and has just a devastating slider. Drew Parrish from the left side is a draftable guy. And, you know, I think those two guys have been up and down. And it's the same way for LSU with their starting rotation. You know how talented Landon Marceau and Cole Henry are, but it's been up and down, but whether injury and whether it's performance. And then you look at in the lineup, got guys like Mendoza and Salvatore. Mendoza's a huge home run guy for them. Salvatore hits top of the order and hitting 350, and those are really good players. And LSU's got some really good offensive players, but then you look back and there have been some weekends where LSU's played really poorly, and the same holds true for Florida State. So it's never really for either one of these teams been a talent issue. It's just kind of been a performance issue. And when you play in tough leagues, which the SEC is and which the ACC is, then you're going to have some setbacks. And I think Florida State's had a few more than LSU, but they seem to be finding it at the right time. And that's the conversation always, every year with every team. Whether you play a great weekend or you play a poor weekend in March, it's kind of like, well, yeah, but how are you going to play in June? And the lights came on last weekend, and both of these teams performed, and I expect to see some more good baseball this weekend.
Hunt, all week long, I've been searching for some parallels to Florida State and Mike Martin in postseason play, right? They're usually really good in their regular season, along with Miami, typically capture that league, and then they falter somehow, some way, sometimes spectacularly. And I came up with a few examples. I'll get your thoughts. Virginia basketball, well, they finally broke down that barrier this year. Always a number one or two seed, even lost to a 16 seed. But they come back and they win it all. You might even say Clemson football. I know there's a title in Clemson in the early 80s, but wow, were they really, really good at the beginning of this decade, you know, until it got toward postseason play, and we see what they've done since then. Is there any chance that this Florida State program is ready to break out of this postseason slump, or is that just kind of who they are?
Well, I think the main thing that we need to talk about when we bring this conversation up is it's really hard to win the College World Series. It's just, it's hard to convince LSU fans of that because they've got six titles and that's just expected performance around here. But it's really hard. Go ask Jim Schlossnagel at TCU how hard it is to win the College World Series. He's had awesome teams and they've gone up there and done nothing. Dan McDonald at Louisville has a great team every year and they stink when they get up to Omaha. Look at how good Kevin O'Sullivan's teams have been for over a decade. He's got one title to show for it. It's hard to win, and Mike Martin has put a phenomenal product on the field every single year for 40 years, and for whatever reason, on a given weekend, they haven't made the plays, and that will probably eat at him. But it's very difficult to win the College World Series. So from that perspective, when you look at it that way, yeah, they have been a little bit disappointing in the postseason at times. And this team, to me, as far as state team, doesn't look like a national title contender. But I would have told you, you know, in May that Coastal Carolina looks like a national title contender, or that Fresno State a few years ago did. If you play your best baseball at the right time, hit a couple homers, and turn a couple double plays, you can beat anybody. So I wouldn't bet on this Florida State team, but they're certainly talented.
Talking LSU baseball with our guy Hunt Palmer as we're live at Ruffino's on the River. This time last week, Hunt, we had a conversation about Giovanni DiGiacomo coming off a white-hot appearance in Hoover. Does he stay in that maybe two slot? I'll have the same conversation. After regional play, not quite as hot, but still, is he somebody that you like toward the top of the lineup or the bottom this weekend?
I like him more towards the bottom. I kind of like what LSU has at the top with the older guys. I like Garza being plugged in now in the middle there where he's swinging the bat great. And, you know, I think against Dan Ike, who's a tough right-hander, you may see DiGiacomo in the lineup. I don't know that I would necessarily again bet on that, but I think it's very possible. It's going to be interesting to see how Palmieri handles his lineups because he knows these two pitchers, Van Eyck and Parrish, both pitched for him for Team USA. One dominant right-hander, one dominant left-hander. So he's got some flexibility with his right-handed and left-handed bats to see what he wants to do, and I think DiGiacomo may fit in there against the right-hander.
As far as LSU's rotation, again, I think we're still waiting some finalized word here. Would it be a surprise to you? I'll start here. Would it shock you if it were anything other than Marceau, Henry, Saturday, Sunday, and in that order?
I wouldn't be shocked if he went with Cole Henry. He told you last week when he started Cole Henry in the Saturday game that he thought Cole Henry was his best option. So in this series, the game you win is not as important in terms of would you win one or game two. I mean, you're just trying to win ball games. That Saturday game is so pivotal in the regional. It's the difference of having to come and win one out of two or win three in a row. So I wouldn't be shocked if he threw Henry because the series is moved back a day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, if he started Henry in the opener. But I also wouldn't be surprised at all if he kept the same rotation and just went Marceau and then Henry. To me, it doesn't really matter. They're both very good. And they're both right-handed. They both give you a great chance. I'm not too concerned what the order is, but those will be your first two guys. And if it gets to game three, I'm pretty certain you'll see Eric Walker.
And you just went exactly where I wanted to go anyway. And let's play devil's advocate there. If it's not Eric Walker, who else might you feel comfortable in with that type of role? And again, that's the caveat, obviously, is it depends on who you have to use Saturday and Sunday in relief.
Yeah, I think Walker's your only option there. I mean, if you just had no confidence in Walker, which I don't have any reason to believe that's the case, he pitched fine last week. He's not a guy that you're asking for eight innings out of anyway. You want him to give you four or five because the bullpen's so good. But if you're not confident in Walker, you could chop it up and just go, I'm going to throw every bullpen arm I got because we're not playing tomorrow, so who cares? And you go Peterson, Beck, Fontenot, and try to finish the game there at the end with Hess. But it kind of depends on what things look like in the first two games. But I would be stunned if it's anybody but Walker in game three.
I'll pick your brain, Hunt, before we let you go on the rest of the Super Regionals. And in particular, we've got one in Fayetteville that's an all-SEC affair. Who do you like to emerge from that one?
I just don't like anybody's chances going to Ball Stadium and beating Arkansas. Now, Ole Miss did it this year, so they're capable. But that Arkansas lineup in that park is so good. Ole Miss's chance in that series is to outslug them and to try to beat Campbell and then get into the depth of that Arkansas pitching staff, which isn't quite as good. With Nolan in the back end, they're not quite as good after Campbell. And Ole Miss has a couple really good starters, specifically McKaysey, the freshman, who's just been sensational. But that Arkansas lineup, for me, too good in Fayetteville. I picked them to go to Omaha.
All right, you got three other SEC teams in. We'll go one at a time. Vandy hosting Duke. Should that be short work?
Yeah, that'll be a two-gamer there. Vanderbilt, they're the best team in the country right now. I'd play anybody except them. So prayers for the Blue Devils this weekend.
Another SEC school, this one from the West, Hunt. They'll be taking a quiz bowl team, kind of like a Duke coming in. Mississippi State welcomes in Stanford. Is that more competitive?
Yeah, I think that's more competitive. Stanford's got a good club, a good offense. But, again, that environment and Mississippi State with that 1-2 punch at the top there with Small and Ginn, I like the Dogs to win. It may take three games, but I like the Dogs.
and what the hell got into Auburn? We're going to end there, obviously. The Tigers / War Eagles / Plainsmen are going to be at UNC. I'll let you recap what they did in regional play and their chances taking on the Tar Heels.
They were awesome last week. And it's a team that is just, it's a shell of itself because, you know, we talked about what their rotation was with Davis Daniel and Tanner Burns. Burns obviously has come back, Daniel on the shelf the whole year, and it's not a great offensive club, but they just played their butts off last week and won it in three games. I don't love their odds going to Chapel Hill, I'll tell you that, but I didn't like their odds last week, and they dominated. So, and anybody can win in a weekend. We've seen that in Baton Rouge a couple times where teams nobody ever heard of came in here and won. So, I don't love Auburn's chances, but they certainly have one.
Always fun chopping it up with Hunt Palmer. All right, before we let you go, your guys went out and got Craig Kimbrell a few nights ago, and not for 1 year, but for three. That's a pretty big-time move, Hunt.
Well, it was. I watched the Cubs in person three times last weekend. It was a nice little 0-3 tilt, a couple of losses in Bush, and then one over at the Juice Box in Minute Maid. So time to get things back rolling against your loser Cardinals again this weekend. And Kimbrell won't be around this weekend, but he will in short order, and he'll be slamming the door so we can go win another division.
I thought you would respond no other way. Thanks for doing this again on a Friday. Enjoy your weekend. I know the Tigers are playing well. Your weekend will be better.
That sounds good, Ben. Thanks.
My loser Cardinals. What a guy. Hunt Palmer. All right, we got more LSU analysis coming up for you in today's program. That's how we're hitting you on a Friday. The baseball gods have given us an extra day to discuss LSU Florida State from the box. It starts tomorrow, and so we're going to take advantage of that. We just had Hunt. We'll have James Moran, the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, taking you inside the on-deck circle at straight up 5 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. That, plus a lot of great surprises coming at you still. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back to Rufino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Rolling right back in on the river, specifically Rufino's on the River, our home on Fridays. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Great time catching up with Hunt Palmer. And I told you, he kind of called it there. He thought that due to the way Maneri shook things out last week, that he was tipping his cap. He believes Cole Henry gives him his best chance of winning. So, again, that was preemptive call there from Hunt Palmer. I know you just heard it, but we spoke this morning right before noon. The official announcement came out right after, but it'll be Cole Henry starting on Saturday, Landon Marceau Sunday, Eric Walker on Monday. We got a lot more LSU baseball talk coming with James Moran at straight up 5 o'clock. We're about to bring on a special guest. CD, before we have Ruff and Rodriguez aboard, you've got an NCAA Super Regional update. Who's playing right now? Who's playing later today? What's the drill?
All right, we got a couple games that are going on right now, and actually one of them wrapped up just recently, and that is Louisville. They destroyed East Carolina in the first game of the Louisville Super Regional, 14-1. You look at Texas Tech in the Lubbock Regional. They're up on Oklahoma State 6-3. Those are only two games that are going on right now, but there's a lot more going on later tonight, namely Duke-Vanderbilt. That should be an interesting matchup considering the fact Duke kind of pulled the upset of all upsets in the regional round. A couple other ones of note pulling up, trying to see what else we got on tap this weekend. Obviously, you got Stanford, Mississippi State going on tomorrow night. Outside of that, nothing really else going on in terms of actual games going on tonight. Michigan, UCLA going to be your nightcap at 9 o'clock.
There you have it. And now we do bring on the owner of Rufino's on the River. We can call you a great friend of the program, right? How the heck are you, Ruffin?
Doing fantastic. Can I hear myself?
There we go.
Yeah, I got a little, can't get any information because I'm on Facebook Live right now on my little Facebook page. Somebody taught me how to use that the other day.
Now you're dangerous.
So you're on live with 5,000 friends.
There we go.
I don't really think all 5,000 are actually watching, to be honest with you.
Hey, if we get 10 of them, yeah, or a tenth of them by the time it's over, we're in high cotton.
Nobody can hear us. That's good.
So we talked earlier in the week, and you got to take in the box experience for regional play. What do you think it's going to be like this weekend for Supers?
I think, oh, man, what with tomorrow with the heat, you know. And
2 p.m.
Us getting the rain we had, you know, my house flooded. I felt like it was deja vu here in Lafayette when we flooded here in the bar. And then yesterday I go home, my maid's screaming, or maid, excuse me, housekeeper's screaming, agua, agua. And I went, oops, that's not good. And water everywhere. So it's very humid in Baton Rouge, and it's going to be tomorrow, and I think it's going to play in a factor. And when one of my friends said a long time, play, Skip, you say, when it's humid, you pitch guys with big hands. They can hold on to the ball. I thought it was funny.
You know what's interesting, too, is baseball can be so different from the other major sports. In football, as you know, it's getting easier to come in as a freshman, but it's still not the norm. It's going to be Cole Henry tomorrow, Landon Marceau on Sunday. These freshmen that we thought could be big-time players at the beginning of the season, yep, it's on them now. It's on them.
You know, and I got to actually, you know, I had a hard time making a bunch of the games this year. Work or being in Lafayette, a lot of different things. I went to actually a couple of series for the Cajuns. And enjoyed them. What a beautiful ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a great time. But I got to tell you, watching them throw, especially Henry and Fontenot, they don't use a lot of their arm. I mean, they are, you can tell these kids are natural, or were taught the right way to throw, because they're hitting 95 miles an hour on the board. It doesn't even look like they're throwing hard.
Yeah, they're generated from their legs and their hips.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable. It's a totally different sport than, you know, I took up tennis because my wife's good at it. And I try to kill the ball. I'm not very good. If you want to be good at tennis, you can't really care. Like my wife, she can care less. And she's good because she doesn't try to kill the ball. Baseball, different sport. And it's going to be it's going to be hot, you know, 2 o'clock, and then, hopefully a big dinner at the restaurants everywhere, and then Sunday, I think it's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
So right in the afternoon. So hopefully they can take two. But, man, you're facing the hottest team in the country, well, part of the regionals, and the coach going out.
Yeah.
I mean, they got it's almost like a Coastal Carolina type feeling to it. You know, it's like when I saw those kids and they ate at the restaurant, like Arizona State ate this year, by the way.
I remember that. Coastal did years back?
Yeah, Coastal did.
Okay.
I told the Arizona State players that. I said, Coastal Carolina ate here the same night y'all did. So y'all got a little luck on your side. And y'all look about the same size. Y'all look like tight NFL tight ends. They just didn't have that pitching that Coastal had.
Oh, no. Hey, something else happened since last time you and I sat here. The SEC is allowing programs, major sports, to sell beer. And you talked about the hypotheticals. Now that it's a potential reality, what do you make out of the fact that Bama, Auburn, I think at least one of the Mississippi schools has said no right away. Georgia's saying fine, but only for our donors of $100,000 a year and more in select spots. I think LSU will be all in. What do you make of it?
Well, I still, and you know, I haven't talked to I got a chance to talk to Scott Woodward about some former player stuff that I'm situated with, but I think you sell beer, and I think you'll cut a lot of the people from coming in with Ziploc bags of vodka. You know, I mean, think about it. It's a, you know, third quarter cutoff. You still have a lot of vodka left. You're shooting it. You're waiting. The reason why you have, I think you have so much drunkenness is because of because of the pure grain alcohol they're bringing in. They're bringing in whiskey. They're bringing in vodka. They're bringing in whatever they can.
Probably starts a little earlier.
Yeah.
I would think that per capita than other places.
And then ice runs out. They can't mix it. You can't mix it with their – so they're mixing and the water runs out. What do? You know?
Shoot it.
You shoot it and then go straight through your bloodstream and you're done. I mean, think if you're with the A&M game last year. I mean – oh, so I think what beer does, there'll be lines, but it's beer. It fills you up a little more, and you can enjoy a nice buzz or whatever, and watch a game, and not get over polluted. So it's going to be interesting, but I think it'll work in favor. And LSU makes more money.
What are the downsides for people like Bama saying no, we decline? Why would they do that?
Bama's a Baptist state.
I was wondering if that's political pressure.
Baptist state, man, that's a Bible Belt, dude. That's right. Tennessee would probably no, because you know they make whiskey there, so that's a.
It's the I-20 corridor, brother. Yeah. I'm telling you,
it's a Alabama, Mississippi.
Oh, Shreveport,
Georgia.
Absolutely.
It's the Bible Belt. Now it's a definitely religious thing.
So it can't have a whole lot to do with the liability they would take on, right? That's not why they're shying away from it, or maybe it's part?
I don't know. Bama makes enough money with their donors. I mean, they got one of the best, biggest alumni and all that. They don't really need it. And Nick's not a drinker at all. In fact, he asks friends, why do y'all need to drink so much? Yes, when I was with him, I don't drink anymore, but that's because of health reasons. I'd love to have one, but Nick just doesn't on his own. But
he never stops being productive.
Yeah, he's always on.
He has to see that as a deterrent to production and wonder, why would a human do this? So, dude, it's a robot.
Yeah, so did Georgia say anything yet? Or
Georgia has said, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to sell it only to $100,000-plus donation members and then only in certain spots. So, I mean, at that point, it's basically being a skybox, right?
Yeah, the thing is, you know, if you go to the suites at LSU right now or Stadium Club, you can get it at Alabama.
Right.
At Florida.
Right.
You know.
And that will change.
So I don't know. But
and the liquor there, too.
I mean, why is the general public different from the, I don't know.
I do think it's good they're not giving hard liquor to the general public. That's probably a good cutoff
line. I think Alabama's probably thinking more of the students. And how do you police the age of the students? You know, are they 21?
Yeah, everyone's got that problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. It may go back to the Bible Belt thing.
I think it's the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's the Bible Belt thing. Yeah, I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina. Definitely a Bible Belt.
Hey, before we hit a final break in this hour, we've gone Saban. Let's go to the guy who followed him at LSU, Les Miles. He's going into the Sports Hall of Fame in our state tomorrow in Natchitoches. How cool is that?
I went to a function on Wednesday night for Les at the Le Berge in Baton Rouge. Terry put it on. It was one of the best put-on events. Not a great showing because of the rain coming and there was a lot of stuff going on. But, man, you got Peyton Manning, Les Miles, Roger Cador, Max Fugler, bringing a ton of people from Houston. And then probably the best athlete out of all of them by far, Danielle Scott. I mean, she was the best volleyball player in the world, went to Woodlawn High School in Baton Rouge.
Lynn Rollins brought this up on the show this week. Five-time Olympian. Imagine how sustained of a period of excellence that has to be.
I remember her because of my friendships with some of the volleyball players at LSU, and she would come around, and you know, she's just a great girl from Baton Rouge, and always will call Baton Rouge home, and she may be the best of all time. I mean, she's special. And Max Fugler, all the things I heard about him in the past, the man in black. Never seen him not wear black. I mean, black shoes, black pants, black shirt, everywhere you go. Smoking a cigarette and black. Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, about to say.
And then, you know, Peyton Manning is going to bring, you know, the only thing I could see her in attendance is the LSU series.
Could. And the other thing, I don't know if this hurts it, but this will be the second year, and Ronnie Rance helped to spearhead all this. They're putting it on CST. So
okay, yeah.
And look,
watch it.
That thing sold out, by the way.
That's okay,
the actual induction ceremony Saturday sold out. I'll tell you this as well. I was told two things about Peyton Manning, his inclusion this year. One, it's why they moved it up so far. I mean, this is the first weekend in June.
Yeah.
This thing typically rests about three weeks later.
He has his camps.
That's right.
Camps in Thibodeau, I think.
Exactly.
Next week, right?
Yeah.
Or July.
Maybe the week after.
Yeah.
But they had to move it up for him. They also moved up requirements. You know how typically with Hall of Fames, there's X years after retirement? With him, they made an exception because they said, you know what? They saw what a class of Miles and Manning could do. First time they sold it out that far in advance in forever.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, look, there's a lot. I've seen a list of the people that weren't. And you always go, how could you not have been on it? I went to the one we first opened here at Rufino's and River. Tommy Hodson was inducted that year along with Shaq.
Yeah.
Who was also a college mate of mine. So that was a great one. They just built the new hall, which is phenomenal. And they say it's grown and grown to a bigger and better deal. So, you know, I mean, state of Louisiana per capita, especially in football, you can't find a state even close to us with the athletes. A lot of people say, well, what about the – I mean, think about the backfield that LSU could have had in the players if we'd had Ed Orgeron or somebody like Nick Saban to lock down the state. You had Peyton Manning, Marshall Faulk, Ed Reed – the receiver from the Colts.
Who went in last year, by the way, Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne. I mean, think of all the great, you know, players that in just in that one little span in the 90s.
Oh, man, my high school alma mater alone sent two of them to Florida State, right?
Yeah.
When you start looking at Warren Dunn and Travis Minor.
Warren Dunn. I mean, just the list goes on of how dominant LSU could have been if we'd have locked the state down.
So a cool class that you mentioned, right? With Shaq and with Tommy, but how about the group that came from Acadiana? I think this was maybe 3 years ago. I covered it, but it was Kevin Faulk, who's been here with us, Jake DeLome, who's been on the horn with us on this show, and Yvette Girard, who, by the way, comes here all the time, and we'll be on with this soon. But that was a great Acadiana area class.
Yvette's my favorite. She's great. When she came to LSU, man, it was not a not a happy deal for the, you know, but I mean, she, you know, when you got a school with a lot more money that could pay and build a program, she built a – look, all that stuff they have at LSU right now is because of Yvette.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw Beth Tarine on Wednesday night, and you know, she's a good little recruiter, and she's going to get some tough stuff, you know, Alabama and all that. And that's also – you got to remember, the program at UL is still in the top in the country, so – you get two of the top programs an hour away. Just think we can combine that. You know, that's the tough part.
And you know, it's really cool now. We got to hit that break, but it's, as you probably know, called Yvette Girard Field at Lampson Park.
Oh, yeah.
So they named it after her this year.
That's awesome.
Snuck
man.
It up on her, dude. They didn't even tell her.
Didn't tell her?
She was calling the game with Lynn Rollins. Lynn said, you might want to go down on the field, and boom, Yvette Girard Field.
And the tears came out?
I don't know. I don't think Yvette cries a lot. That's a guess. We'll be right back in. Ruff and Rodri again. So, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. 7 minutes to 5 o'clock. We'll get Ruffin back in soon. Right now, you just get me, Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game, hanging out at Rufino's on the River. And we'll also be sure to bring you a couple of great guests in the 5 o'clock hour. James Moran, the On Deck Circle with James Moran, comes your way at 5 o'clock. He won't be live from Alec Box. Well, I guess he could be, but they won't be playing baseball until tomorrow. Keith Hornsby, former LSU Tiger, lit up the NBA G League last year with the Texas Legends, almost 50% from downtown, led that league in three-point field goal percentage. Keith will be with us at 5:45 to talk NBA Finals. And we'll also let you hear from Tim Linnefelt, Seminoles.com, your final scouting report on FSU at about 6:15. A little bit of time left between now and our 5 o'clock hour break. Let me give you some updates from around the world of sports. Carson Wentz four-year, $128 million extension with the Philadelphia Eagles announced this afternoon. Pretty big cheese. Matty Ice in Atlanta, still the highest paid quarterback, but that's an awfully big number. The Eagles just put up on the board, at least on a per-year, annual basis. In fact, math, me, we get along. So $32 million a year? Wow. I think anybody will be fine there. And obviously, they freed up some room, I guess not only at the quarterback position, but the money that has to go there by shipping out Nick Foles this offseason. Foles now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Carson Wentz, four-year, $128 million extension with Philly. Can also tell you for tonight's Game 3 of the NBA Finals, the Warriors, 4.5-point favorites at home. Now, Toronto with a 2-1 lead. It'll tip off 8 p.m. on ABC. Klay Thompson expected to play. Kevin Durant out. Kevin Looney still questionable. Ruffin Rodriguez going to join us here. We've got about 2 minutes left in the hour. Who would you like to see win the NBA Finals out of Toronto?
Man, that's a big, huge mess at my house with my son and my daughter. Son's the biggest Warriors fan in the world. Steph Curry is his idol. And my daughter just goes wherever. My 8-year-old goes against whatever my son picks. So she's loving the Raptors. And she can name all the players. 8 years old. I can't name one. You don't know what? No.
That's crazy, man. They got foreign players on that team. She probably rattles it off.
And she's good. And, you know, the thing is for me with the NBA, and I know a lot of listeners hopefully some of them feel the same way I do. Man, when I was growing up, I watched the Celtics and the Lakers, yep. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, but also was old enough at the time to remember Larry Bird, Indiana State against Magic Johnson, Michigan State. There was a romance there, you know, following Patrick Ewing through Georgetown, following Shaq and Chris Jackson through LSU, following the players, play for Michael Jordan. I remember when Michael Jordan was in North Carolina. He just watched, you know, just James Worthy. All the you developed a young romance, I'll call it, sports romance with him. And then you follow them in the pros. But now, either one and done to their foreign, and there's no connection.
Yeah.
It's like Rafino. We make connections here. That's what we do. It's an experience. You make connections. You feel like family. You feel like watching the NBA to me is just like, okay, who this team, where's LeBron now? I didn't even know LeBron was with the Lakers until I went to the Pelicans-Lakers game with my – because my son wanted to see him play.
You didn't ask yourself why those tickets were expensive?
No. LSU just beat Tennessee, so I was on cloud. I didn't care. I went straight to the game, and I went, oh, there's LeBron James. He's fast. He's real fast. Why isn't he playing tight end or defensive end?
I'm going to put you on the spot here as we come down the end of our first hour. We have a little tradition. We have a final word of the 4 o'clock hour. Our sponsor for that, the Village Station in Maurice. You go down Maurice Highway. You've seen them before. Trust me, they're great. So we come and we boil the whole hour down to one word. If you were to boil the experience at Rufino's on the River down to one word, you would say?
Bliss.
I like that. Bliss could be the final word of this hour anytime. We're coming right back with plenty more. James Moran, Keith Hornsby in hour number two. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And, yeah, we're living a very blissful life at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
It's time to get you ready for LSU baseball. Step into the on-deck circle with James Moran on 103.7 The Game.
And it's a special Super Regional edition of the On Deck Circle coming at you. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside Ruffin Rodriguez. here inside the restaurant. And as we head to Baton Rouge, great to welcome back our friend James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine. James, how the heck are you?
Doing well, Ben. How about you?
I'm doing very well, and I'll get your reaction to the day's news. It'll be Henry Marceau Walker. Maybe the first two were juxtaposed from what some would have assumed. Give us your reaction and then why you think Paul did it.
I don't think there's really a tremendous bit of difference of the confidence they have in Henry versus Marceau at this point. I just think that this has kind of been something they've wanted to do for a long time. You know, if you look at last week, Henry pitched the more important game, so I don't think it's a big surprise that you would then turn around and throw him in game one in this super regional. You know, I mean, he's really kind of been the ace of the staff since mid-April. Now he was out for a month and took him a while to get back, but I think he's still the ace of the staff, even if Landon Marceau has pitched every bit as good as him in the last month or two. I think, they're both important games. I don't think it's really a situation like the regional where game one versus game two or versus game three are, you know, very in importance. I mean, they're all really important. You got to win two out of three. Means you got to win at least one of the first two, and if you'd like, you'd really like to win both of them. So I don't think it really makes a whole lot of difference, but I think Henry gets the nod because he was the guy that they kind of saw as their ace most recently, and I think that's why it's him.
James, you know, we sometimes get listener questions, and we have one I'll direct towards you now. Has Cade Beloso seen any time at first base this week in practice? And I guess the thought from this texter to the program is if it's a possibility to maybe move Reed back to third, if you have that in your back pocket.
Maybe. He's definitely worked there in practice. I just don't know if they're really looking to make any changes right now. I know people are calling for Hal Hughes to go to the bench, but I'm not really sure that's what the direction they're going to go in. Especially on tomorrow afternoon. I mean, they're going to see a lefty. I would fully expect them to stay with the lineup they've been rolling out there with Hughes at third and Reed at first and Cade Beloso as the DH. I guess it wouldn't shock me if maybe they've, you know, made some changes so they can get another right-handed bat back in the order. But at this point, I don't really foresee anything along those lines. I think they're going to stick with Hughes, and they're just really happy with the defense that he brings them at third base. And I'm sure people are very frustrated by that answer, but that's just kind of my assumption of what's going to happen.
Kate, how you doing? I mean, it's Ruffin Rodriguez, Rufino's.
Hey, Ruffin, how are you, man?
Is anything y'all can do about the obnoxious guy yelling stuff in Suite 301? No, it's actually me. I had fun last game, James, with one of the players from Southern Miss. They put their faces. I mean, it's bigger than my face on that billboard. I mean, it's a poor. He's such a good looking kid, Watson. He's the biggest Adam's apple I've ever seen. And I said he can hit a home run with his Adam's apple. You know, it's just. I had fun with this guy named Cole or something, and I was yelling at him after the pitch, and I think he heard me. But James, I don't know if it's the what has gotten into the Saul. Is it Saul or Saul?
Saul Garza.
Saul Garza, yeah.
My dad, who makes, you know, he's not the biggest baseball, but he makes every game. I've never seen him really fall for a player, but he cannot. My son wanted to go to the bathroom. My dad was going to take him. When he heard Saul Garza's name, he said, "We're not going." He had to go back to the seat. Where is this? The progress of this kid has been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy with a pretty fascinating story. I mean, we wrote a big thing on him last week. Basically, he comes from a border town in Texas, Edinburgh, Texas, right there on the Texas-Mexican border. He's kind of a fat kid in high school. Lost about 15, 20 pounds his senior year, but he took up swimming. Went to a junior college, hit 23 bombs. He was smart enough that he had a bunch of hours saved up, and he graduated in a year. And then when LSU lost a catcher in the middle of last season, they kind of went out and started beating the bushes looking for a JUCO guy, and that's where Saul Garza turned up. And then he got here, and you know, there was huge expectations for him, but he hurt his knee in the fall, and it was just kind of a slow process. He didn't really start catching full time again until mid-March, and early on in the season, he wasn't really hitting. I think he was kind of weird getting into the flow as a DH, and once things start going poorly, those bad thoughts can kind of spiral on you. And, you know, he kind of had to take a little mental reset and get himself back in the game, and once he started catching again, the offense kind of came naturally, and now he's just, I mean, he's just crushing the ball. I mean, he's always been a guy with a ton of power, but we see him hitting the ball with authority in all fields. I mean, he's been remarkably clutch. I mean, he was probably LSU's best player in the SEC tournament, and he was their best player in the Baton Rouge Regional. So he's just, you know, having a catcher that's playing well is so valuable. And it's, they're kind of like the leader of your team. They're the guy, only part of the team that kind of interfaces with the pitchers and the other position players. When you got a guy that's playing as well as he is, I mean, if you ask me what's kind of been behind this LSU turnaround, number one would still be the pitching, getting healthy, getting Marceau, getting Henry back, and those guys throwing well. But how far behind that would be the way Saul Garza has come on in the last month, month and a half. I think he's been that critical for him, and he's played that well.
Talking shop on LSU baseball with James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine. Right now he's taking you inside the on-deck circle.
I could tell you, this team, James, reminds me a lot of what was the year before Lewis, when Lewis Coleman really made his surges in the SEC tournament, and then I guess it was 08?
Maybe the 08 team. Yeah, when they went on that winning streak?
Yeah, this team kind of reminds me of that team a little bit. Ever since Duplantis' home run and his little brother broke the record next door, it seemed like this team has been enlightened by something, not a squirrel or the nasty
rally
possum and all these different things. Nothing really special. It's just but something definitely has sparked them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I think that was really the kind of turning point of this season, because they just managed to get out of there without getting swept. That was so important. It kind of kept them right there in the mix to host, and they came home and played a good weekend against Auburn. They went to the SEC tournament, where they've obviously had a ton of success pretty much every year since Paul Maneri took over. And then they kind of just have just built on that. I mean, their pitching staff's healthy. Getting Marceau and Henry back has allowed Walker to slide back in the rotation. It's allowed the bullpen to kind of become a strength again, where they've got a lot of depth out there, and they got three different guys who can close and a lot of guys that can, you know, mix and match in the middle. And the lineup, I mean, I mentioned Garza, Zach Watson's also on a tear right now, and just kind of those guys that have been able to help out and kind of take some of the load off of guys like Duplantis and Smith and Daniel Cabrera, who've been asked to do so much all year. You know, I think just getting that little bit of a boost from those other guys, whether it be other guys in the rotation or other guys in the order, has kind of allowed everybody else to raise their game. And I think you're right. They've just been on a tear since then.
And my prediction is, now that the record is out of the way, is for Antoine really to go on a tear. I can see that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. You know, I mean, I think he's done a good job of not trying to make too much out of this. I mean, he seems like a pretty grounded guy and pretty good at compartmentalizing. But I agree, now that it's over and, you know, he can kind of let his mind fully think about just getting hits and doing his job and trying to win games, I wouldn't be surprised if he started to get hot right away.
The entirety, James, and Ruppin, of my experience around their family is that they kind of shrug off excellence. Right? They're not going to reward it because they all do it. They do it regularly. It's always just about on to the next one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it.
You read that in the article this morning with Antoine losing, Mondo losing his first meet. Hey, you know, it happened. Let's move on to Europeans and da-da-da-da.
That's it.
And we'll see what happens.
James, one more for you at least. I guess, how might the lineup for Maneri and LSU be different on Sunday, given the fact that it's going to be a dominant right-handed pitcher as opposed to tomorrow against the lefty? And again, the lefty's no slouch, eighth-round pick of the Royals, but how would it be different against the dominant righty?
I'm not sure. I think you could maybe see somebody else in the two-hole instead of Brant Broussard, though I think they like the way he's been playing there as well. It wouldn't shock me to see Brant Broussard hitting eighth or ninth against a right-handed pitcher, just because, you know, I think maybe that lengthens the lineup a little bit, where you could just easily slide someone like Duplantis into the two-hole, you know, kind of have him and Josh Smith at the table, and maybe Beloso and Cabrera in some order after that. And Well, who knows? Maybe even see Zach Watson move up a little bit. I'm not entirely sure. I think you're going to see the same nine guys you saw last week, but maybe they could be in a little bit of a different order as the week goes on.
I'll squeeze in one more, James. How, I guess, short do you expect the leash to be Monday with Eric Walker?
I don't know if it'll be that short. I mean, I think it'll depend a lot on what happens the first 2 days and where the bullpen is in terms of who's been used and by how and how much. You know, I mean, I think the leash is going to be short with any of these guys when LSU has a rested bullpen. And let's say they've got Hess, Peterson, Fano, and Beck all kind of raring to go. I think the leash will always be short in those situations. But and especially in a do-or-die game, which is what Monday would be if there is a game on Monday. So I would think pretty short. But then again, if they've kind of burned, you know, if they've played extra innings or something or someone got knocked out early and they really had to milk that bullpen hard one of these first 2 days, maybe it's a little bit longer, but I would agree. I think it's going to be a short leash for him.
He is James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine. James, you know, we appreciate the time. And I can tell you, the guy sitting next to me, Ruffin, big fan of the publication, has been for a long time.
Oh, the Tiger Rag? Man, when I was a kid, I read it every week. We got it in Thibodeau. Lacquered my walls with it. It was back then it was the only publication. Now you can get information from so much, but James and him do a fantastic job.
Yes, and look, I was
I appreciate that, guys. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the baseball. Talk again next week.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks, James. Hey, look, I'll say this before we go off the air on this segment. I was in an attorney's office, not for personal reasons, but I was visiting with one in the Acadian area this weekend, and he said, "You used to write for that magazine, right?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I thought so. I stopped seeing your picture in there, but I get it here every week, and I read it every week still. Different guy, but I still read it all the time." So it's a cool.
Was your segment called Love on the Rocks?
It may need to be.
Got
to
be.
Hopefully, I don't need the attorney for that reason.
No.
Well, I've been married for 18 months, man.
Yeah, no, keep it going, man.
That kind of attorney.
You're still in that new love stage, man. You're good, dude. You're good.
Take a quick recess. When we return, speaking of Love on the Rocks, we're going to throw a little shade. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we will return quickly to Ruffino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Let's go, people.
Come on, back to me.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Oh, yeah. We'll play to the Stones anytime. Bumper to Bumper Sports returns on 103.7 The Game, our home on Fridays. Been a fun spring and summer. Ruffino's on the River. Got a nice bar crowd right now. Would love for you to come and join us. What I can publish on air is Wine by the Glass is half off. Whatever my guest of leisure, Ruff and Rodri, Andy's up and adds to the pot, that's on you.
Yeah, no, I tell you, this summer, it's we're going to have a hot one, and I know we got some cool martinis coming out. We got a couple of new bartenders that are extremely talented. And, you know, I always pushed that blueberry lemon dry martini. There's some words I can't even say on air with what some of the girls call it. But it's so good. It'll blow your mind. And, I want to try a frozen version. I don't know how to really do it yet. You know, like a frozen margarita, but a frozen
right
blueberry lemon drop. It just sounds so delicious. So we'll see what we can do.
Can you imagine sitting right behind us on the patio with some of that going on?
Such a beautiful view. River's high. It's nice. Got a bunch of beautiful girls, guys at the bar. It's the reason why. Well, it's too late. Jamie and Catherine Howard would not let me. You know, every week they'd come to Ruffino's in Baton Rouge. Come to Lafayette, you guys. We don't have a place. We need to have a place of our own. And you know, God rest her in peace. She was such a perfect human being. And we put it up, man. And they
you know, it's become that. It's become that local flair. People have that feel. The river, the staff, everybody's local. General manager's from here. Chris Muffoletto, his grandmother owned a restaurant back in the day in one of those little small towns. And
wife played for Yvette Girard?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, wife played for Yvette Girard. And, my ties to – everybody knows my ties to USL at the time. I remember going to a game when they were the Bulldogs. My uncle G.A. Was a linebacker, and he finished in, I think, 74. And he and John Bordelon – that's how I met John Bordelon with Home Bank was me and my cousin Kevin Craig stood. We were ring bearers in my uncle G.A.'s wedding, and John was the best man, and he was a great guy back then. And my favorite story as a 11-year-old or whatever, how old I was when my uncle, I may have been 8, my uncle in the locker room after a game, after a big win at home, I think they beat McNeese, and he said, go over there and get an autograph from that guy. He's going to be in the pros next year. And it was Rafael Septian.
There you go.
And I got my autograph. My first autograph I ever got was Rafael Septian. But I became a USL fan before LSU because my dad took me all to his little brother's games, and that was here at UL.
So you said a name, and I can't let you get away with it because his son was in the news this week. As you probably saw, Jamie's kid, Walker Howard.
Yeah.
How about Nick Saban doling out the sophomore-to-be offer?
Yeah, you know, Walker's like a nephew to him. I just adore the kid. He's going to be a phenomenal man, much less a quarterback. He's going to stay healthy. He can do whatever he wants. He's got that soul. You know, he's got that soul. It's supposed to be the norm. You don't offer a kid unless he's starting quarterback of his high school. You know, that's kind of they kind of wait for that to happen. It's just kind of an unwritten rule.
Used to be a rule.
Yeah, it used to be a rule. That's right. It used to be a rule. And I think Nick's upset right now because Billy Napier, Ed Ogeron, the head coach at Southeastern, Selfo.
Thank you.
They're all getting along, okay? They're helping each other out. For the first time in history, the state of Louisiana, the two biggest universities, UL and LSU, coaches' staffs actually like each other and get along.
Absolutely.
And guess what that does? It helps each other.
Yes. And that's the reason Ed invites everybody in to the LSU camps now and then tells them, don't invite the outsiders to your camps.
Yes. So Alabama doesn't come in. Texas can't come in. Texas A&M can't come in. And guess who helps UL get recruits? LSU. I mean, it's brilliant. And, you know, I'm glad it's happening. And it's going to do nothing but great for both programs. Billy's going to start something so much fun in Lafayette. But we got to start tailgating, and we got to start having Friday night parties before, either Rufino's or wherever restaurant and bar you want to do it at. Let's start bringing people in, getting them in the hotels, pack the hotels so we can party it up the next day in Cajun Field.
I'll tell you this. I don't know what your plans are for the season opener LSU's got against Georgia Southern. It's a night game in Tiger Stadium. But I'm trying to put some things together on my end, from what the Cajuns are going to be doing against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Now, the only downside to that, Ruffin, you may have seen this, they moved kickoff to 11 a.m. on Saturday because it's going to be picked up by national television.
I think that's
that could be huge.
I think that's a huge advantage for the Cajuns.
Agree.
I think Mississippi State lost a lot of players. A lot. The whole defensive line when the draft.
Fitzgerald's not a bad quarterback, is he?
No.
There you go.
The kid that's familiar with the Superdome is going to
– Keaton Thompson. Yeah, that's right. He's a heck of an athlete.
So you're going to have to stay on your toes, you know, because he can run and he can chunk it. Not that accurate. But, against Ole Miss, I watched him a couple of years ago, Thanksgiving night, and he did pretty good. But, you know, it's a different attitude. You know, Billy really likes his quarterback. He likes his – You know, I don't know if they're complete yet, but they're getting to that point of, like, having fun again.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the new Southeastern coach for the last 2 years. He took Ron Roberts' place. Roberts now the defensive coordinator here at UL.
Yeah.
And Billy's bragging on their unit the way they have grown this spring.
And
if their defense takes a step forward, look out.
Defense is huge, and Ron Roberts is a big proponent of tackling, which a lot of people have forgotten about. I mean, you know, the whole Greedy Williams thing, not tackling, and, you know, Deion Sanders didn't tackle. I want to be like Deion Sanders. Nah, man, you got to tackle. He says, you know, this is football. It's Louisiana football, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just going to be a fun year. And that's a 11:30 kickoff, man. Pack the dome, and
I want to get something going Friday night in New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans needs right now. They're suffering in the summer times, the heat and the tourism really goes down. So this, and they love to have the Cajun fans. All you have to do is go by Cafe du Mont, and that's all you see is red and black. That's gonna be a great game.
I think so.
Yeah, LSU's at 7. We hit Mississippi State that morning. We drive to Baton Rouge, and
you'll be out of that game at 2 o'clock.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, but we've got one more break, and before we do, a super regional update. Top of the ninth in Lubbock, Texas Tech, tenuous 8-6 lead over Oklahoma State right now. Pokes at the bat maybe for their final time. I can also tell you we just got a little glimpse of the weather in Nashville. It is pouring. And so Duke at number 2, Vandy. Don't look for that one to start on time tonight. Hopefully it gets played in general. We're coming right back in. Another tradition for the program. We will throw a little shade. I'm going to involve Rob Gronkowski. I ain't throwing it at him. The dude's just hilarious. I'll explain when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. A reminder, something to stow away for Monday. Your weekly reboot podcast is available every Monday morning, no matter how early you wake up, you get in the vehicle, and you go to work. It's perfect for your commute in or for a lunch break, about 10 to 15 minutes, and always something a little bit different behind the scenes what we do on the show. So make sure you go to 1037thegame.com or the free mobile app. Click, tap, on demand, and plug in to the weekly reboot podcast. It's presented by my friends at the Cigar Cove in Broussard. And, oh yeah, with Father's Day coming up, make sure you think of Dupin Company at the Cigar Cove.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Nothing strange about it, just great sports talk radio. We think so, at least. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back with you, taking you home on 103.7 The Game. Ducked out at our Friday hangout. It's Rufino's on the River and almost a full bar. Not kidding, but we still have some special seating arranged for you. Come and join us between now and 6:30 when my show ends. We're going to have wine by the glass half off and then some of those blueberry martinis that Ruffin was talking about. Hey, before we completely dive into our tradition, let me get to my daily reminder. Remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. The team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
I want to make it clear off top, I am not throwing shade at Rob Gronkowski, but this story is fantastic, Ruffin. The New England Patriots, they had their ring ceremony last night, and pictures were taken everywhere. Gronk, other players with the trophy, and there's still a massive dent, like in the upper right-hand corner if you're looking at the trophy. Upper left-hand trophy if you're holding it away from your body, perhaps. Months ago, Gronk put that dent in the trophy, and they have really just said today, or last night rather, we're going to leave it there. it's now a part of lore. So if you walk up to, you know, the trophy 20 years from now and you see all six of them lined up, number six will still have that dent in it. And here you go, Ruffin. You asked me in the break, how'd he do it? All right, never mind. I just figured it out. Apparently, he used the $50,000 Lombardi Trophy as a baseball bat. So he physically swung it at something and connected with the football end of it.
I hope it wasn't another human. He's crazy. I remember the night he was in Baton Rouge, and the word got out really quick that he was at Bogey's.
Which makes sense.
Took his shirt off, the whole deal, all you know, and it was just I got some of my servers came back. They showed me pictures because they saw him that night. And I just said, "That guy's nuts." But he's a big boy. He was talented. I'm sad to see that he's not playing anymore. But you know, his body's telling him no, so I don't blame him.
I have read several articles that suggest he is incredibly savvy financially and has saved so much money and lived off almost nothing of what he made while with the New England Patriots. And yet, when you look at his actions, you look at kind of how he lives his life, he feels pretty carefree and maybe a little on the dumb side, but I don't know about that.
I don't think he's ever bought a beer in his life. He goes into a bar, takes his shirt off, somebody's buying him a drink.
That's true. Especially in the greater Boston area, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jarvis Green is a great friend, and he played I think for two Super Bowls Jarvis is famous for letting Eli go on the miracle pass. He slipped through his fingers on that sack and the game would have been over. And Jarvis goes back to Boston and Foxborough and people just recognize it's a community of recognition. I feel sorry for guys like Tommy Hodson, my roommate, who was drafted by the Patriots, but that's when they were owned by the Gillette guy and they were terrible. You know, I mean, Tommy got beat up and got traded to all that stuff. And Drew Bledsoe came in and then they sold the team and then Parcells. And then now it is what it is. It's a community of champions.
And just about every major sport.
Yeah.
Red Sox did it last year, done it multiple times since 2004. Celtics got it done in this generation with, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. Hockey team is pretty regularly in that type of running. So.
Bruins.
Yeah, man.
So how did I know that? I've never been to Boston.
And yet if I were to ask you for, you know, something like, I don't know, your anniversary. You got that off the top?
Man, why'd you want to do
that? I put you in a press.
It was like last week, June 3rd.
The Boston hockey team. Right there, baby. Anniversary, though. I get that way, too. And see, the problem is my wife's actually here in the bar now, so I might really run into a problem or two there. And so, ultimately, this segment was not about throwing shade at Gronk, but Clint, we can play the music. We should throw it at me.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Got our final break of the hour coming up here in a second. And Ruffin, when we return, Keith Hornsby coming in. Before we talk Keith, any connection to his pop's music?
When I was at LSU, one of my favorite lyrics, for some reason, Jim Hubitz, who was a tackle, I used to mess with him because there was a lyric in one of his famous songs that says, get a job. And I would always tell Jim that, to get a job. Or it was just kind of a quote that we always used from that song. And I actually told Brandon Landry when Keith was in town, you got to get his dad to do a little, because he actually has a song, I don't know if it's called Walk On, but he says Walk On in the song about 100 times. And I told Randy, I need to get with Bruce and
have him
do something with Walk On. Yeah, thought it'd be cool. But, you know, that went past his, I don't know what Brandon.
It made too much sense.
Yeah, it made too much, exactly. It made too much sense.
A multi-time Grammy Award winner. That couldn't be too easy, right? But still, Bruce Hornsby, no longer Bruce Hornsby and The Range, but he's still churning out a lot of really great music. So I got to interview him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Bruce talking about his son when Keith was coming through.
Yeah, Keith is a big – he went to the Baton Rouge restaurant several times.
I never got a chance to actually meet him.
Mayor an LSU cheerleader.
But I did meet his – oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
And I met his – but I did get to meet his dad at a basketball game once. Just walked up to him and introduced myself. And
just said, a regular dude.
I was like, man, you can tickle those ivories better than anybody I've ever seen, dude. You are awesome. And he's just a soulful dude. He was awesome.
His son can tickle the nets. 48.5% from three-point land last year. He led the G League. So we're going to ask him about his secret, and we're going to ask him about the NBA Finals on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we will return quickly to Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Right back into Ruffino's on the River. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Excited to bring on our next guest. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. He was the ninth pick of the 2016 NBA Developmental League draft by the Texas Legends. A season ago, led the G League in three-point field goal percentage, 48.5% from deep. A former LSU Tiger, Keith Hornsby. Keith, welcome back to the program. How goes it, brother?
It's going pretty good. It's always good to be back.
Well, look, I got to reintroduce you. I'm sure you've met the guy sitting to my right, Ruffin Rodriguez, before. I think he said that you like his restaurant in Baton Rouge.
I've been there probably five, six times. Oh yeah, come on, it's one of the best. By reputation, it holds up to the reputation. I'll just put it that way.
Ruffin, you made sure he had the crab meat cheesecake.
Oh yeah, Keith was. You know, my son just by far his favorite player, obviously, with his 3-point shooting and just tenacity, I call it. But getting to meet my Keith, I'm a huge music, you know, I sing opera and all that stuff. But I'm a huge musical fan that can only play the trumpet. Trumpet's my only. I can't tickle the keys.
Nothing wrong with that.
Your dad was just. And I told him at one of the games, I said, man, you have no idea. I know you hear this, but I am truly one of your biggest fans. I use more lyrics from some of his songs, from Get a Job to – I even told Brandon Landry that he needs to use that song because he says Walk On in one of his songs about 100 times. I told Brandon Landry –
Yeah, Valley Road.
Valley Road, that's it. And I said, Brandon, you can use that as an advertisement, man. You could tie in with Keith.
Oh, yeah, Walk On.
Walk on.
That'd be perfect.
You guys got something going here.
Oh, man.
Keith, I got to ask you this. Switch to the NBA Finals briefly. The Raptors with a 2-1 lead, they got something going as well. And I'm not going to take a lot away from their performance. It's easy to say Golden State's been injured, but what has Toronto done so exceedingly well to begin these finals?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'd have to notice is their defense. I mean, Golden State, from what I've seen, is sometimes almost seems almost impossible to stop when they're really clicking and moving the ball. But, man, Toronto has been so attentive. You can tell that they've just glued to the scouting reports that their coaches, whoever their defensive coordinator is giving them. I mean, so it starts there. And, you know, they've also been shooting the ball well, obviously have to score to win the game. I mean, they have and everybody, they have their main players play their role so well, and you know they you can tell there's a reason why they're there. Basically, I'll put it that way.
And I'll ask you this: as we're joined, by Keith Hornsby with the Texas Legends, former LSU Tiger. What difference will it make with Clay back? Even assuming that Kevin Durant's going to be out, is it a bigger deal defensively for the Warriors? Offense? How do you look at that?
Well, I mean, yeah, you have obviously Steph out there. That's one killer. You had Clay. I mean, he's an equally great shooter to me. I mean, it's an incredible threat just to have him out there. Even if he's not completely 100%, I mean, just having him on the floor will scare the defense. You know, always have to know where he is, and you know that's how we've seen them get some you know, some open baskets, some open cuts. It's so hard with how Clay and Steph move without the ball. It's such an unpredictable offense. So, you know, obviously Clay, you know, he's not only his talent, he's also a leader for them. You know, just having him back will be big. And, but, you know, hey, they got game one pretty easily with Clay out there. So, hey, you know, it'll be interesting.
Would you liken your game in any way to either Fred VanVleet or Danny Green, a couple of guys who are both having awfully big postseasons?
You know, I'd have to say I'm kind of a good mix between both of them. I think I'm a better ball handler than Danny Green. I like to drive it a little more than him. He's pretty much just catch and shoot. The pure perfect example of the new 3-and-D type player that the NBA loves so much. You know, obviously VanVleet, you know, he's pretty versatile. You know, he can run the point. He can, you know, create his own mid-range shot, take it to the basket, along with, of course, shoot the three. So I've always tried to make myself versatile. So I'd probably say I'm more like VanVleet, although most people without knowing will probably automatically assume I'm like Danny Green. But, you know, who knows? That's a good question. I've never been asked that before.
I think you're more like Steve Kerr, man. Man,
Steve Kerr can light it up.
Oh, I grew up watching, you know, obviously with Jordan and Pippen, but Steve Kerr was the man back then. They would double team, triple, and they would just dish it out to Coach Kerr, and he would just light it up. And that was a trivia question not long ago. Was the two highest percentage three-point shooters in the NBA were on the same team, but nobody got it was the coach. It was Stephen, the coach.
Stephen Kerr?
And Klay Thompson was right behind him.
Wow.
I did see an article on that recently, actually. That's unbelievable, but quite the coincidence, I must say.
Keith, let me ask you this. How do you improve upon shooting 48.5% from three? What's your goal next year? What are your goals?
You know, I don't know if I can. I don't know how I did that, honestly. It was something, you know, I was shooting that well halfway through the season. I was like, there's no way I can keep this up. You know, scouting reports, my shots will become harder. You know, I'll hardly get any open looks, you know, because obviously they'll try to take the three away first for me. But, man, the only thing to do is just to keep shooting and shooting and just making the shot as natural and effortless as possible. You know, in the game, you just let it fly. And it's like you can do it in your sleep. And that's pretty much how I felt this year, you know, along with the results on the court. You know, I just, like I've always been, I was in the gym all the time, you know, keeping it ready, keeping it locked in, the shot, I mean. And, hey, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I'm friends with, you know, Mickey Loomis is a friend of mine. We got to get him, we got to get Keith with the Pelicans. I think it's a perfect
hey,
fit.
I'm good for that. Louisiana is my second home.
I know.
You wouldn't mind playing with Zion? That wouldn't be too bad of a deal?
You said with who?
Zion Williamson.
Hey, if he'll pass it to me when I'm open, I'm all for it. But yeah, I love having him on defense. He'll block the shot. Oh yeah, I'm a fan of his.
Got another few moments with Keith Hornsby on 103.7 The Game. I've wanted to ask you this for a while. Shame on me that I haven't. When you're in the shoes and you have an option of going to what was the D League and is now the G League, or playing overseas, and you probably came up against that decision yourself, what are you weighing there?
It's going overseas. It's obviously I've never been, so I can't speak from a full year's experience over there. But just, you know, it's so complicated, especially now that I'm married. You know, so basically I'm making a decision for two people. You know, so. You know, it's just always better to be in the States. You know, your family, your friends, they're you know, at least only a flight away. You know, it's easy to communicate with them. You know, going overseas, it's just a huge transition. So, but obviously, you know, if you're talking financially overseas, unless you make it to the NBA, obviously would be the best bet for the quick decision. But, you know, we'll cross that road again in about a month. Coming up all over again. It's kind of a yearly thing, but this year I am focusing on going overseas. I think it's about that time. You know, I mean, I don't think I could shoot it any better while being here and not get much love. But, if I agree with it, if Heidi, my wife, agrees with it, then, an overseas decision, and that's what we'll make. And if it's a good league, a good playing situation, a stable organization, it's a good country to be in, then, hey, you know, hopefully it turns out well.
Keith, this is always a lot of fun. I'm coming up on an hour break, but thank you for doing this. You and Heidi get toward either Lafayette or Baton Rouge. Let me know. I know a guy. We could probably get you into a restaurant.
We would both love it.
Yeah, we'd love to see you again, Keith. Keep up the good work, my man. Keep lighting it up.
Thank you so much.
There you have it. Keith Hornsby, I would concur. You're not doing a lot better than 48.5% from three. Ruffin asked me in the break, anybody do better than that in the NBA this year? Answer is no. Not that took a certain number of attempts. I did just check out Steph Curry to make sure. 43.7%, which is still phenomenal.
In that league, is he owned by a team?
Yes.
Okay.
It's still, and that's a good question. He was not drafted. His rights were eventually taken by the Dallas Mavericks, and this Texas Legends team is part of the Mavericks franchise.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
Exactly right.
So they'll move him out. Okay, good deal.
All right, so the sun's setting on hour two for us. We got a half hour to go, including some sound bites from Tim Linnefeld, an expert on Florida State baseball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Another half hour, and off we go. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, joined by Ruffin Roderick. We are live from Rufino's on the River. And trust me when I tell you, a lot of people celebrating life right now at 921 Camellia. I'll give a quick nod to our producer. He's kept me on track. And he's the heartbeat of the show, the famous Clint D. How about this crowd, Ruff, in the bar, having a good time as we find our way into June?
No, it's awesome. We got some, I think, one of the biggest Cajun fans. I think when I first came to Lafayette, I got the chance of Hunter Trahan. And, it's a great mix of beautiful people. Wow. You know, and that's the one thing about Lafayette, South Louisiana, just the whole thing. You know, we complain about the humidity, but let me tell you, it keeps these girls and guys looking really young and really good. Because ain't nobody anywhere in the world as beautiful as the people at this bar at Rufino's right now.
I'm not going to disagree with that one bit. We've talked a good bit of LSU baseball, a little LSU football. We mentioned the fact that Walker Howard got an offer from Alabama. I just got some news. That's the other thing. Come to Rufino's on the River, you might learn stuff. I did. I just learned that Luke Howard, again, that's going to be Jamie's nephew, so that's Walker's cousin. Luke is a fairly highly recruited player, and he's starting to get a lot of the FCS and then maybe some of the Group of Five offers. I'm told that he committed to McNeese State last night. So we'll see. I'll make sure that's correct here because I'm getting it again at the bar. I don't have that from – and this is as a tight end, but a huge kid. And so he's looked – I know that La Tech and a number of others were after him, so we'll see if that sticks and stays. But
I know David LaFleur's kid. I think he told me the other night his kid's going to McNeese. I think that's it was one of the schools. And David LaFleur was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school when he came, and he's got some big boys. Ben Bordelon's got a boy. It's going to be a monster next year, and his youngest son is going to be bigger than that. And we all know about Adam Perry's son.
Yes, be a freshman at LSU. Is that right?
They love him. They love his work ethic. They love everything about him right now.
And by the way, I can confirm that Luke Howard himself has posted on Twitter. He committed to McNeese State. How about this for size? 6'4", 220, entering his senior year, tight end.
Wow. You know, I mean, the talent level is just, you know, to get an offer from LSU, you get an SEC. I mean, you really, really, really have to be special. And that's just great. You know, there's no way I could be today with my height. I mean, the offensive linemen just, those guys are just, they're monsters. You know, and Adam's oldest son is 6'7", I think.
Yeah.
And his two younger boys are going to be just as big and as talented. It's crazy. But they're loving him. They're loving him right now. Campus is work ethic, everything, which is great.
I'm sure what you did when you arrived at LSU is a world different than what these incoming freshmen are doing now with Tommy Moffitt and his program there. But what do you remember about this time of year? I mean, just the whole experience, your first time getting to campus, everything.
Man, you know, our strength coach had just left. Jurgerson, Tim Jurgerson went to who's coincidentally at Dunham High School now.
Okay.
He went to Packers, Green Bay Packers. So I didn't. We didn't have a strength coach, so they promoted Milton Williams, who was under underneath him, and Milton was a little different. He researched and did different things for strength, but he came up with his own stuff, and he challenged us a lot. And we had some pretty strong players on our team, a lot of NFL guys, you know, Eric Anosek and Brian Kinchin and Nacho Bergamo and just Ralph Norwood. And, but when you go in the summer, you know, you get a job.
Yeah.
And my first summer job was with Woodrow Wilson Construction at Our Lady of the Lake Hospital, tearing up the trauma center.
Wow.
So, and then the next year, I wasn't a starter. That was my redshirt year. The next summer, my job was at the Exxon plant building scaffolding. So the year after that, I was a starter.
So you were actually earning it in the offseason.
But this is how it goes. The year after that, when I actually was going to be a starter, I filed a couple of papers, and then I went to lunch every day with a group of guys. I mean, but I actually showed up.
That's funny.
You know, but we went to lunch every day. That was basically my job.
So your experience definitely different than the one they have today. What is it that's so special about Tommy Moffitt? We've talked about this before, and it goes back to Gale Hatch, and I fully appreciate that as I was in that weightlifting program myself. But.
Well, look at his son, Clay. He leads every, not cheer, I'm not going to call it a cheer. Clay leads the huddle.
Yeah.
You know, when they huddle and they do their deal, that's what. So you know what kind of man Tommy Moffitt is. He is intense, always on, always ready for the next challenge for his players. And what I really loved was, and it was crazy for Alabama just in general. All the former players that walked down the hill, you know, George Game and all that, but his. He wasn't my strength coach, although I'm friends with him. But his former players, when they see him and he's coming through the former player tunnel, they're jumping on top of him. I mean, it's hilarious to watch. But he gets into it, and you know, it's an exciting, fun feeling and fun thing to go through. But it's,
you know, you think about it, they probably spend more time with him than the coaching staff
because they can't in the summertime,
right?
You can't have any interaction at all with your coaches in the summertime. So your strength coach is your best friend.
Wow.
And that's how we were with Milton Williams. I mean, we were a lot closer with him. And, you know, and after that, obviously, with Curly Hallman, I think we had a strength coach was a defensive coordinator. And then they promoted a guy who used to be the kicker at Southern Miss. And he just never had it. Now, you know, with Martin. And Moffitt's in that group of Gale Hatch disciples. Gale Hatch was actually one of my dad's really good friends back in the 60s. And he was the first guy to bring lifting into full form. You know, he was an Olympic strength coach. But all the guys that he trained, I mean, at Alabama, Georgia, they're everywhere. I mean, and he'll name. You ever want a good guess? Get Gale on. But he'll name everybody that is in his little circle. He's got a great story. And Tommy Moffitt's one of his prize pupils.
No question. Ben Love, with Ruben Rodrigue, riding shotgun for another few moments. On the other side of our final break, you'll hear from Tim Linnefelt, full scouting report on the Florida State Seminoles leading into tomorrow's Super Regional action. 1 to 10, what's your excitement level for that bad boy?
Last week was so special, especially after that kid hit the grand slam and he tied it up. I was like, man, I thought it would just be one of those games you just kind of go through and then you have to come back. But they showed so much resilience. And now that Antoine has got the record out of the way, Garza is just – he looks like a major leaguer right now, the way he swings. And the big thing, obviously, is pitching. And I think, they put this Todd Peterson in, kid. You never know what you're going to get. And you hit two batters and you walk a guy. Again, because it was very humid that night.
I like that from Skip.
And
throw the guy with the big hands.
Throw the guy with the big hand. If the ball's slippery and he can't throw a strike, don't put him in. And, and then the kid hits the grand slam off of one of your best pitchers. But I like the role that Hess is playing. I just think that the guys they got, man, those three freshmen with Fondo and coming in the end, that's the key, man. Is the first day tomorrow.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Can he go at least 6-7 innings?
I think he will, and I think they win tomorrow. I think they lose a hard fought game on Sunday. As good as Landon Marceau has been, that's the ace for Florida State. If their back's against the wall and that kid's got to perform, and he averages almost a strikeout and a half an inning, which he has so far this year, I'll say LSU loses a tough one Sunday and that they find a way to win going away on Monday night. Eric Walker throws maybe only 3 to 4 innings, but the bullpen is rested enough because, to your point, if you get 6 or 7 in your first game,
you're
set up all right. So I think they'll win it in 3.
I think they have a good enough lead on Sunday to bring Eric Walker in mid-range.
That would change everything. If they get to go for the throat right then and there, that'd be something.
That's what we want.
That's the way to be. This has been fantastic, by the way. I got some stuff coming up with the Florida State guests, but you and I did this a month and a half ago. I don't know if practice makes perfect, but practice makes pretty damn good.
Yeah, this is fun. Bar's packed. Everybody's having a good time. Hard to find a seat. Got a seat outside. It's a gorgeous day. The windows are down.
That's right.
I mean, it's a pretty perfect afternoon.
And so we're going to put a bow on this segment. But don't you worry. Tim Linnefelt, Seminoles.com. When we return, he's going to truly take you home and into Astros baseball. Stros, they're looking to continue winning ways. And they're happy, happy, happy to get back home. First time in a hot minute. They've had a West Coast swing. Baltimore Orioles coming to town. First pitch is at 7:10. We will carry the game tonight on 103.7. And also, we will have the pregame show Astro launch in almost exactly 20 minutes. Coming back for one more time, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
A great day about to turn into a great night. It's exactly how we do it each and every Friday when we are blessed to be at Rufino's on the River. Bumper to Bumper Sports, one final time on 103.7 The Game. The lovely Rat Pack music in the background here. And yeah, a bit of a chill night that's kicking off. That's just the way that you would like it. You don't have any LSU baseball, no fret there. That comes tomorrow. So maybe a bit of a calm before the storm theme going on for you. But we do want to send you off with some thoughts on Florida State. And we had one of the foremost experts, not only covering Florida State baseball, our man works for Seminoles.com. He's basically the equivalent to Cody Warsham. He works for FSU. And that was Tim Linnefelt. Was with us earlier in the week. I want to end the show with the bang and run back some of his best. So when you listen in on our station the next two, maybe 3 days and nights, if you get out to the box, you're lucky enough to catch it in person, you'll have some firsthand knowledge. You might just be the most savvy guy, gal, kid who knows something about the opposition in your area. You could thank Tim Linnefelt. Let's get to some of his best right now. I asked him first, and this has been a common theme, right? Is there a win one for the Gipper mentality? We know it's Mike Martin's final season. They did something pretty heroic, fairly unexpected, to keep it 100 in the Athens Regional. So the fact that all of that transpired, is that part of some win one for the Gipper mentality?
Might have been part of it throughout the season. But, you know, more than anything else, man, I mean, I think, you know, just from a competitive standpoint, I think some of those guys were, you know, a little bit embarrassed with the season that they had. I think they felt like they hadn't played up to their true potential, which I think is fair to say that they didn't. I think they were, and they felt like they were better than what they showed. And then factor in the Mike Martin situation and knowing that this is going to be his last year, you know, getting sent on the road to go play Georgia, I think was almost in a weird way kind of a perfect scenario for them, because I think they felt like they could play better than what they had shown. There wasn't going to be any pressure that they typically have playing at home. I mean, obviously, look, you know, Florida State baseball being what it is, you know, the fans here are aware of the history of this program, the fact they haven't won a national championship yet. So it was sort of become like a repeating thing every single year in the postseason, or, you know, even in the regular season. You know, Florida State could have a great regular season, and they would always sort of be like, well, you know, let's see what they do in the postseason. Whereas this time, they go on the road, the pressure's off, and you know, they were able to perform really, really well. So I'm curious to see how, if at all, that affects them moving forward. But, you know, it's hard to argue that the Florida State's playing really well right now.
I'll tell you what else is interesting. As we get you more from Tim Linnefelt, I asked him to take a stab, and this was Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Memory does serve correctly. When I asked him about the projected pitching rotation, and he absolutely cranked it out of the park, because it was announced today exactly as you're about to hear it from Tim Linnefelt.
Well, I think they'll probably keep it the way they did in Athens. I think you'll see Drew Parrish, the lefty, start on Friday, followed by C.J. Van Der Esch on Saturday. The Friday starts, followed by C.J. Van Eyck and then Connor Grady. Parrish was thought to be their ace coming into the season, and when he's good, he's really good. He's kind of a crappy, you know, paint the corners type of lefty. But Van Eyck lately has probably been their best pitcher, and I think that, you know, the series has kind of tended to go which way he goes in that second game. And then Connor Grady's a guy who was probably their most reliable midweek guy. I think he was a pitcher that, you know, we really weren't quite sure who Florida State was going to throw in that third game against Georgia. It was between him and a guy named Shane Drohan. I was actually kind of surprised to see Grady, but it's kind of flipping a coin. I suspect that if it gets to a game three in Baton Rouge, it'll be Grady again.
Now, the other thing I found interesting, the closer for this Florida State team, J.C. Flowers. You don't hear it in this clip from Tim. The young man also plays a good bit of center field. So pretty ridiculous athlete. You'll see him all over the place. Big impact for Mike Martin's club. But he was a top 10 round draft pick as well in this recent 2019 MLB draft. You know, the one that wrecks everybody's lives and shop right in the middle of the playoffs. But I had to pick Tim's brain on what comes in at the end. Because a lot like LSU, and as you heard Hunt Palmer say earlier today, there are a number of parallels between these two clubs. You can make a case that the back end of the bullpen is strong for both. I think LSU might have a little bit more strength in depth with guys that are going to bridge it, get you through the eighth, and then nail it down. But at the end of the road for Mike Martin is J.C. Flowers, and Tim will tell you all about it.
He's been their closer all year and has been really, really good at it, actually. And it was interesting about him. You know, he's probably been their, well, I guess, you know, he is your closer. He's been their best reliever, so much so that I think, you know, some folks have wondered if maybe he should pitch a little bit more. But he's been so valuable to them in center field and with his bat that I think they kind of like, you know, what he brings with what they're doing. And, you know, baseball coaches, man, I mean, they're always kind of reluctant. Like if a guy is, if it's working for him to you know, to play eight innings and then come on to close, you know, every couple games, something like that, they're not going to want to get away from that. And I think that's been the case with Mike Martin. But he has been their best reliever. And also, they're not afraid, you know, six-out saves have been fairly commonplace with him. They're not afraid to go to him a little bit early if the situation calls for it. But you'll see J.C. Flowers in the closer role if that should arise.
We have but one more from Tim Linnefelt. Again, he works for Seminoles.com, a senior writer covering all things Florida State athletics. He traveled with the team to Athens. And I'll take a brief detour because I find this fascinating. And it's going to be a fairly alien concept to a lot of baseball fans in South Louisiana. I mean, passionate, collegiate baseball fans. I heard this from a number of places, that that place was at times Florida State heavy when FSU and Georgia were playing. You listen to the show, you know. I went to the University of Georgia. Wasn't a baseball crazy university and fan base when I was there 12, 13 years ago. Not exactly. And I don't imagine just because they're having some success that has changed a whole lot. In fact, from what I heard, it hasn't. And so it's interesting. My same friends who were telling me this said, man, if things had gone chalk and LSU were coming up to Athens or Super Regional, probably would have been a number of games where there was more purple and gold than what? Black and red? That's amazing to me. But still, it goes to show the Florida State fans showed up in pretty good numbers going up to the Classic City in northeast Georgia. I expect there's going to be a decent crowd that shuffles down I-10 to the Baton Rouge Super Regional. And I asked Tim Linnefelt, what's the team's level of excitement on playing in a historic venue like Alex Box and also doing it for the first time in program history?
I'm personally excited about it, and I suspect they probably feel the same way. I mean, it's just it's kind of funny, right? I mean, two kind of classic college baseball programs. Everybody knows the success that LSU has had and you know, the tradition there. And for one reason or another, they haven't really come to be associated with each other very much. You know, obviously they had the two games in Omaha a couple of years ago, and those were memorable. But they're kind of more recent. Like, you don't think about, like, you know, the old classic Florida State or LSU teams. Like, they didn't really seem to cross paths all that often. So, you know, to me, like, it seems almost unfathomable that Florida State wouldn't have played baseball at LSU at some time. But here we are. So, you know, it's one of those places, you know, it kind of reminds me of Rosenblatt Stadium. I was fortunate enough to go there a few years ago. And I remember being there and thinking, you know, I'd seen this place on TV so many times, I kind of figured I would never actually get to be here. And that's kind of how I feel about baseball at LSU. I mean, if there's college baseball on TV, certainly like in the 90s and early 2000s, if there's college baseball on TV, it was probably at LSU. So, you know, you're familiar with that setting and that stadium, even if you've never been there. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing it in person for the first time.
There you have it. All the best, quite literally, from Tim Linnefelt. Seminoles.com. If you're not prepared for that series yet, I'm really not sure what else we could do for you. Hunt Palmer, James Moran, all in one day, our two top guns. It's kind of like our Cole Marceau. You might even call it our Verlander Cole. I don't want to designate one of those guys as being Verlander and the other not, because that may not go over well. I'm friends with both. And yet, we had some dynamite coverage today. Always great catching up with the one and only Keith Hornsby, Ruffin Rodriguez. We appreciate the red carpet always being rolled out at the classiest place you know in Lafayette and the best place to celebrate life, Ruffino's on the River. So for all of our great guests and the famous Clint D, yeah, we've had a fun week. It's going to come to an end now. You've got Astros baseball next. They're back at home and set to take on the Orioles. But make sure you keep the dial right here all weekend long on 103.7 The Game. We are your home for the LSU Baseball Super Regional against Florida State. You've been listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. A great weekend for all. We'll catch you starting Monday at 4 on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.